Good morning, friends, and welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. It's a joy and a blessing to be with you this morning online. I am so thankful that you are with us. I'm Nick Schimmer. I'm one of the pastors here at Asbury. And once again, thank you. Thank you so much for being with us. Real quick, you may have noticed if you're joining us on Facebook Live or on YouTube, you'll see a link that is going through the chat. That is the link to our new virtual attendance pad, or whatever you want to call it, guest book. Please take a moment and click on that and fill out the information. It's some very short, easy questions, and at the very bottom we have a space for prayer concerns. We would love to see about those so we can add those prayers to our daily life as your pastors. You might be sitting there wondering, where is he at? I am in the kitchen here at our church at Asbury. It's a big, beautiful industrial kitchen that we use for so many of our events. Our ACCDC uses it as well. And I want you to think about spaces like this that exist all around the country and all around the world. Industrial kitchens where groups of people from all different walks of life come together for one single purpose, and that is to serve others. Now, what does that have to do with what we're talking about this morning? Well, a lot, actually. In the church in Philippi, Paul is addressing the issue of a church that is not as united as it should be, that is not working towards the singular goal of glorifying Jesus Christ as it should be. And so it's with that sense of unity of all of us who come together, regardless of where we come from, under the love of Jesus Christ, that drives us to serve others. Once again, I want to thank you for being with us this morning. And as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship, please join me in a word of prayer. Almighty loving Father, we gather today in your presence as your beloved children. And God, we are thankful for this opportunity to do so. We are thankful for the technology that allows us to come together, to connect, to communicate, and above all else, to glorify you. And so God, while we all come here this morning in a different state, in a different place, we ask that you join us, that through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, your guidance can make this time of worship transformative for us, your children. Let us hear your call this morning, O God, to go and make disciples and be with us with your love and your grace. It's in the name of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Church, you are the church.
Please join me in a word of prayer. Gracious and loving God, God of glory, God of mercy, we humbly come to you this morning as your children. We come to you in different states of mind, different conditions of the heart. And God, we know that you know each one of us so deeply and so dearly. And so we ask you today to place in our hearts and in our minds the comfort, the love, and the grace that we so desperately need to continue to move about in this world as your disciples, as your hands and feet. God, we look around the world right now, and it's hard not to have your head on a swivel with everything that's going on. It's hard not to lose sight of the big picture. It's hard to get pulled down into the hurt and the despair. Because God, we are called to hurt. We are called to grieve. We are called to walk alongside those who are in the deepest pain, to show them the love of Christ. But God, we know that we can do none of that without you. We can do none of that without your guiding hand, without you going first and paving the way. So God, we ask that you move ahead of us with a mighty force, that you help, that you sow the seeds of division that so deeply hurt us as people. This division, God, it comes from the world. It comes from our own human nature. It comes from our own desire to be better than. But as Christians, God, we know we're not called to be better than. If we are truly going to be your hands and feet, God, help us to see that we are truly less than, so that we may selflessly sacrifice for those around us. God, we ask that you are with all of those who are in a period of deep transition in their lives. Whatever that looks like, it might be a loss of a job, it might be hesitancy, it might be fear over the unknown of the future. With school starting, I know that there are so many that are concerned about what that looks like, with children going back into the schools, with teachers teaching in these classrooms. It will be like nothing we have ever seen. And so God, we ask that you equip us with the strength. We ask that you equip us with the peace to trust in you. And God, we know we have difficult decisions right now. And so God, we ask that you take the lead, that you guide us, that you show us the path forward. God, this morning we come to you with a heavy heart. We come to you with pain, because as a community, we feel pain when others feel pain. We ask that you continue to walk alongside our beloved Dawson family as they mourn and they grieve, but may they also, through your comfort, through your love, see the joy in a beautiful life lived by our brother Jim Ed. Lead us as a church to lift each other up, to carry each other through, to support each other, to give all that we can give. And God, we ask this morning that you guide us and move us humbly as your Savior moved. May we reflect his image to all those who we encounter, May we see those we disagree with not as enemies, but as beloved brothers and sisters. May we continue to love them. May we continue to connect with them. May we continue to pray for them. And God, in this moment, we look to Jesus Christ as our source for all hope, as our source for all peace, as our source for all understanding, and as the source for our connection, our communication with you. The door that has been opened, God, to talk to you, to cry out to you, give praise to you. And may we pray the way Jesus taught us how to pray, by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Christ is risen. I'll be reading from Philippians 2, 1 through 11. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at that name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Good morning, friends. Once again, it's a blessing to be in worship with you today. I want to give a special thank you to Sean Burks and to his sidekick Clifford for that beautiful reading of the scripture this morning. Sean did beautifully, and Clifford was so well behaved. There is no way that my dog would have sat still like that. So Sean is lucky to have such a best friend as that. We're in our second week of our sermon series, Primer and Purpose. What we're doing is we're unpacking some of the very basic Christian virtues that we hold dear as people of the faith, as followers of Jesus Christ. And if you were with us last week, you'll remember that Pastor Didi spoke so beautifully about love and how we are all called to an attitude of love, both towards God and towards neighbor. And so this morning, I don't want to shift gears from that. I want to build onto that, because I want to talk about how love feeds into another basic Christian virtue that we all hold dear and that we are all called to, and that is the virtue of service. We're looking at the early church in Philippi, and one of the things that's interesting about this church is though it was having success, though it was growing, and Paul was happy with some of what was going on, his heart was also troubled by a couple of issues that the church was facing while Paul was in prison in Rome. The first one is these outside agitators that were coming into the church and causing disruption and trying to seek to get these early Christians to come into a place of more following procedure than being unified under Jesus Christ. But the second issue is one that happens in churches even today that Paul saw as a major problem. And that was disagreements and discord within members of the church body. Paul doesn't say specifically what the problems were, what they were arguing about, what they were disagreeing about. If it was a Methodist church, for all we know, they were disagreeing about how many tables we needed for the potluck. But there was disagreement, there was issue, there was strife. And so Paul wanted to remind them of how we are called to live and love together with an attitude and a mindset that is like that of Jesus Christ. And so here in chapter 2, Paul so beautifully lays out the attitudes and the approach and the mindset that we have to have as Christians towards each other, but also he lays out the reason why, and he does it in such a beautiful way with a telling of the gospel story that is so powerful. And it is something that I encourage you to commit to memory and to share with all of those around you. Like I said, the big problem in the church was that where, as Christians, we want to come together in an attitude of unity, in an attitude of selflessness, in an attitude of like-mindedness, they had an issue with trying to seek uniformity. There's a big difference. Uniformity is just coming and doing what everybody else is doing. It's showing up on a Sunday morning and opening the bulletin and just following through the list of the order of worship because, well, that's just what we do here at the church. Paul is instead challenging these young Christians to adopt a mindset that is like Jesus Christ, because not only will it change the life of the church, it will change the very heart and being of the individual members and move them from individuals to a united, loving group. And so Paul, in this passage, as Sean read, lays out some characteristics that emulate the mindset, the heart, and the attitude of Jesus Christ. He starts with a therefore statement. And it's so powerful. He's almost saying, you know, if you say that you're a Christian, he says, if you have any encouragement from being united in Christ. And a good way to translate that is it says, if you have gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made a difference at all in your life, if being in this community guided by the Holy Spirit means anything to you, then here is how you should be. And he says it in this way. He almost says, do me a favor. If you care, agree with each other, love each other, be not just surface friends, not just topical friends, not just water cooler friends, be deep spirited friends. Have a deep concern, a deep care, and a deep love for one another. One of the things I've learned in my short time here at Asbury is we are not short on a deep love for each other. You can feel it in the halls. You can feel it in phone calls. You can feel it. There is a deep love and care for each other. But he also makes a very interesting analogy. He says, don't push yourself to the front. Don't seek to make yourself more important than anybody else among you. Because trying to go the road alone and trying to do it out of your own self-interest is going to hurt others around you, but more than anybody else, it's going to hurt you. It is going to cause you pain. It is going to cause you loneliness. It's going to give you a feeling of isolation. We are called as Christians to be in community together, to love one another, to put our faith at the center of our life. And so Paul is calling for this message of unity because true spiritual unity comes from within. It's a matter of the heart. Uniformity is just coming along to get along. I did the welcome this morning in the kitchen here at Asbury, and I think about all of the businesses around the world who seek to serve others. The service industry is a large industry in our country. And while the pandemic has impacted that industry greatly, one of the things that I've always been interested about is it's one of the places in the world where so many people will come together from different backgrounds, different worldviews, different upbringings, but they become unified in a single goal. But the only way that goal is achieved is if there is a great leader at the front who has the vision and can set the goals that can help the team come together to achieve its mission. And for us here in the church, that is no different. Our leader is a powerful leader, and that is our Savior, Jesus Christ. Not only does he set the goals, set the standards, set the vision, he rolled up his sleeves, came down here on earth, and showed us how it was done. You know, I read about all of these virtues in verses 1 through 4 to have humility, to consider ourselves less than others, to look not to our own interests but to the interests of others. And I read it and it sounds beautiful. And I just wish it was easy, just so easy for me to go, yeah, no problem, I can do that all the time. But we're not wired that way. The world does not wire us that way. The world teaches us that our success is determined by our own personal achievement, by our own personal accomplishment. If you're like me, the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning after you've made your coffee is you sit down and make your own personal to-do list for the day. What can I personally accomplish? What do I need to do in my life today? How many of you in your working lives are driven by your own personal success? Just driven by your own goals and by whatever means you're going to get there? See, great leaders emulate that mindset and attitude of Jesus Christ. They come into any situation knowing that their only road to success is through the success of those around them. They lift others up. They provide support and love and mentorship. And for us here in the church, as we seek to humbly serve, we have the greatest mentor that the world has ever known. And so when we look at this list, we go, how? How can we possibly do this? Well, here's the beautiful thing about Scripture, is when we ask how, God always provides an answer. And Paul records that beautifully in verses 6 through 11, because he gives us an understanding of the true nature of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus didn't have to take this path. Jesus is God. Jesus, and Paul says, Jesus is of the very nature of God. He is on equal footing. He could have come down here and said, I'm God, straighten up. But he chose a very different route. He chose a very humble route to teach us how to act and relate with one another. When the time came, Jesus set aside all of the privileges and powers and rights that he had that came with being God. And he humbled himself. He came to the lowest possible point. There is nowhere in the gospel story where you read about Jesus talking about his own personal success. His only care was for those that he came to serve. And he served in the lowest possible way. He taught us what humility really looks like. And I saw a very interesting definition of it. It says, humility is the grace that when you know you have it, you have lost it. Sometimes the people who claim to be the most humble among us are often the least humble. He carried himself humbly, so lowly, to the point of death. Jesus knew that humble servitude would result in some level of suffering. And he walked that road with strength. He walked that road with courage. He walked that road with love. A love for me and a love for you. When I was doing my research this week, I read an interesting story about a missionary who was in Brazil, and he was walking around the marketplace, and he came upon this booth, and they had a sign, and it said cheap crosses for sale. He was taken back by that because it struck him as an interesting concept. How often do we as Christians look for the cheap cross? How often do we approach our faith by just dipping our toe in the water? Just going through the motions and thinking to myself, as long as I do X, Y, and Z, then I'm okay. But to suffer in service for Christ means to fully immerse yourself in the faith. Fully immerse yourself in what it means to follow Jesus Christ. To be humble. To not be stuck in what the world tells you to be. We are guided by a beautiful Savior. We are guided by the powerful Word of God. And it very easily lays out for us how we are called to live, because Jesus gave up everything for us to live in that way. He emptied himself. He permanently became human. He didn't have to do that. He chose to. And he chose to do it for you. So the question that we ask ourselves is, what are we willing to do? What are we willing to suffer for as Christians in this world today? Because even in the West, even today, with all of the rights that we have, we still bump up against areas of persecution, against areas of ridicule, against areas of criticism from the outside, from the world. The tools of the spiritual enemy is to tear us down at our heart, to leave us confused, to leave us frightened, to leave us unsure of where we are heading in the future. And what it will cause us to do is it will cause us to serve willingly as long as it doesn't cost us anything. But as Dr. J.H. Jowett said, ministry that costs nothing accomplishes nothing. And so today, we need to look not for the cheap cross. We need to sling the burdens of this world onto our back and carry them to the feet of the cross of our Savior Jesus Christ. To humbly look at how he lived. To bring ourselves humbly to that low point. When you step outside today, I want you to look down your street. I want you to look at every house. Maybe there's kids playing in the yard. Maybe you have a neighbor outside barbecuing and mowing the lawn. And I want you to see that not as your neighborhood, but as your mission field. And be willing to move and humbly serve in a way that your neighbors, Christian or not, see in you the image of Jesus Christ in a way that is powerful, in a way that is wrapped in love, that is wrapped in grace, so that they walk away from you saying, you know, that person, they really care about me. So as we leave this morning, friends, I ask you to step out into the world, to serve humbly, to take the lead as a follower of Christ, to bring that love to others. See, we in this church, like the rest of the world, like any, like the business world or anything you see where people are brought together, we come from all different walks of life, from all different worldviews. We were all raised differently. Some of us come from different parts of the world, different parts of the country. But we find ourselves here now as members of this family here at Asbury. We are unified together in a space of love, in a space of deep devotion to one another. And God is calling us in this moment to serve this world in a powerful and mighty way. My friends, let's keep our eyes and ears open to that call. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
There is a promise that points beyond my failure. There is a still voice to silence all my fears. Even the worst of my mistakes are miracles in the making. Miracles in the making. By your stripes I am healed. With one touch I am made whole. You have spoken, and I know that it is so. In the storm you are peace, and your love won't let me go. You have spoken, and I know that it is so. In every season your purpose is unchanging. In every moment you're working for my good. Jesus, the rock that never fails, your kingdom will not be shaken. Your kingdom will not be shaken. By your stripes I am healed. With one touch I am made whole. You have spoken, and I know that it is so. In the storm you are peace, and your love won't let me go. You have spoken, and I know that it is so,
friends. It has been a joy and a blessing to be with you in worship today. I hope that God has moved you in this time together and this time of discussion about service. We're closing our time together from our food pantry here at the church. It is a big point of service for us here at Asbury, and it is a joy and a blessing to be able to provide for those who need it at this time. I am so thankful to our faithful church community who continues to keep this room stocked for those who need it. A couple of quick announcements before we go. Here in just a few minutes at 11 o'clock, Pastor Deedy is going to take us through the next part of the book of Revelation in our virtual Bible study. We're going to look at chapters 12 through 14. If you haven't been on for the virtual Bible study, it's never too late to get on board. We still have 3 weeks left of the study of the book of Revelation, and it's been a wonderful time together. Starting on Tuesday, August 25th, we have a new virtual Bible study starting on Zoom that is going to look at the history and the structure of the Apostles' Creed. You can sign up for that through a link in the Asbury 5 Things email. You can contact me. You can contact Cheryl at the office. But we would love to have you be part of that. As you leave our gathering this morning, please receive this blessing. Serve your God with patience and with passion. Be deliberate in living out your faith. Be steadfast in celebrating the Spirit that works within you. And may peace be your way in the world. Go in peace, friends. God loves you. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Through every battle, through every heartbreak, through every circumstance, I believe that you are my fortress. Oh, you are my portion. You are my hiding place. Oh, I believe.